Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Early on the morning of December 7th, 1941, two airmen who had taken their post at the radar lookout station several miles north of Pearl Harbor saw on the radar a large mass moving in from the sea toward the Hawaiian Islands. The first airman immediately was startled by what he saw on the screen, and he prepared to follow the procedures and phone in the warning to his superiors. He believed a very large force of what could be enemy planes were headed their way. He believed the evidence on the radar screen, that it was unmistakable and that something bad was about to happen. While the second airman remained skeptical, believing that what he saw was an optical illusion of some kind. When the first airman did as instructed and phoned in the alarm, the officer that took the call at Pearl Harbor dismissed the report. And he chose not to believe what he had just heard. And he abruptly hung up the phone, went back to business. That same morning, a captain patrolling the waters outside the harbor spotted what he believed to be an enemy submarine. He had been alerted for some time about the possibility of enemy vessels breaching the harbor security. And he too followed the established procedures. He wired in the warning that the enemy had been sighted. Again, the message was disbelieved. This time, the base commander, suggesting that the submarine sighting needed more confirmation before any defensive action would be taken. At this point, we can say the rest is history. Many lives were unnecessarily lost, all because several people either refused to believe what they saw, just could not believe what they heard, or that there wasn't enough evidence in order to move to action. Move 79 years later. Another enemy was on the attack from afar, not from Japan, but China. What we have come to know, the enemy called COVID-19 or the coronavirus, coming in a stealth form. You know, I remember watching the State of the Union address in February, and I honestly don't remember hearing President Trump talking about he working along with China to stop the spread of a new case of a virus or flu. But it's been repeated on TV since then that he already was working on it with his staff, and he believed it enough that he took action in January to close flights from China, a time at which families in China had gathered because it was their Chinese New Year. So they could have been coming back right at that time. It was sighted and it was reported. And we began hearing of the reports and not knowing how dangerous it was or how dangerous it would or could be. And we've been getting bits and pieces of what was coming and what we have needed to do. Some believed the impending danger and began to take action. Others did not believe there was any danger and decided to do nothing. And still others were skeptical, needing more evidence. Well, steps have been taken, haven't they? To restrict us to social gatherings. And so this morning, we're not gathering to celebrate Easter. And sad to hear that there have been even cases where communities have been shut down from even having a parking lot service where they're even meeting in the cars. And I got a little side jab here to put in there. I guess we should have all met at Walmart and kept our distance between, and maybe we could have met together. And I want to tweak the terminology just a little bit. We need to change it from social distancing to physical distancing. And the reason I emphasize this, God created us as social beings. We still need interaction with one another, maybe more than we've ever realized before. So, okay with the physical distancing, but let's not forget we need to socialize in whatever form we can come up with. Well, one of the more popular phrases that I've noticed for this Easter has been, the churches are empty, but so was the tomb of Jesus. And all I will say to that, amen to that. Well, but let me get back to the responses of December 7th and the responses of the coronavirus. In John 20, it describes some of the very same responses to the resurrection evidence. There was the one who believed without seeing. There was one who believed upon hearing. There were those who believed upon seeing. And there was one who would not believe unless being able to touch and see. In the opening lines of John's remembrances, we read, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, two women found the tomb that Jesus had been buried in empty. And they ran to tell Peter and John what they had found. Peter ran to the site, and he was stunned by what he saw, an empty tomb with strips of linen and a burial cloth lying where Jesus had placed it, folded to the side. And finally, we're told the other disciple, and in John's gospel, that other disciple is John himself, to declare his belief in the risen Christ. No other evidence was required for him to believe. You know, there are people who are able to take a stand without requiring more than what is presented. John is the one who believes without having to see the risen Christ. Second, there are those who believe upon hearing. Mary of Magdala stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she noticed angels in white seated right where Jesus' body had been. They've taken my Lord's body away, she lamented. And at this, she turned around and there was a man standing there. But, as John notes, she did not realize that it was Jesus. When Jesus simply said, Mary, she knew the voice and she cried out, Rabboni. There are those who believe upon hearing. Mary Magdalene had spent so much time with Jesus, she knew his voice. The voice of Jesus was all she needed. Do you know his voice? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Make time to be with Jesus, the one that you call Savior and Lord, so that you too are so familiar with his voice, you recognize him. Malcolm Muggeridge was a staunch Marxist before he found Christ. During the Cold War, he traveled to Russia to write a story about the Communist Party and the decline of religion in that atheistic regime. Well, after conducting a series of interviews with officials in the Kremlin, he attended a Russian Orthodox Easter service. And to his surprise, the church was packed. At the close of the service, the priest announced, Christ is risen. And the people shouted back, he is risen indeed. He heard their unified voice and it was filled with praise. He looked into their faces and instantly knew in his heart that they were right and that Stalin was wrong. He said it was the reality of their joy that tipped the scales of his soul toward Christ. It was through the voice of praise that he heard the voice of Jesus. Then there were those who believed upon seeing. On the evening of that first day, John wrote, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, Jesus appeared. Of course, we're aware that their fear was they were concerned that the Jews would be coming at them next. Jesus shows them the nail prints in his hands and the wound in his side. And we're told the disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. There are those who believe, but only when they confirm it with their own eyes. The date of next Sunday, a week from today, is April 19th. It will be the 25th anniversary of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building explosion. And we will pause and we'll remember. I was 7 blocks away when I heard the explosion. And I felt and heard the concussion of the church building. And I heard the glass entry door shatter. And I jumped up from my desk. I went and looked out, not knowing what it was. And I saw the black billowing smoke. Later, we would find out that it was a truck filled with fertilizer that was made into a bomb that blasted the whole front of the building out. It was so hard to believe. People drove down to the site when it finally opened up. You were still a block or two away. There were others that shared with me. They would get up during the night and they'd turn on their TV and they'd stare at the building because they had floodlights on the building. And you didn't see anything, but they would just stare. And people traveled from across the nation, and due to this day, to see the location. And many will walk through the Oklahoma City Memorial Museum, and they finally grasp the event, the reality that it really happened. So some believe without seeing, others believe upon hearing, still others believe only what their own eyes tell them. And then we have good old Thomas. Thomas was not present when Jesus appeared that first night. His fellow disciples told him, but he would not believe in the resurrection. Unless I see with my own eyes, and unless I touch with my own hands, I will not believe. You know, I see this as being very assuring. That in a way, Jesus doubles back to give Thomas exactly what he needed. When Thomas saw the Lord, his soul proclaimed, "My Lord and my God!" You know, to Jesus, it doesn't matter which way we come to believe or which reaction we may have. It's rather obvious. Jesus will meet you where you are. He cares that much about those yet to believe. He meets each of us on a personal level. And Jesus keeps knocking at the door, but we must be willing to open it. As we had seen in the church of Laodicea last week, Revelation 3:20, the risen Christ announcing, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with them and they with me." Jesus is knocking. He is knocking on your heart. He will not force his way into our lives. Jesus is clear. We must open the door. And I've thought of others who have needed something to convince them. I thought of Josh McDowell. He wrote the book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Well, according to McDowell, he was an agnostic in college, and he decided that he would prepare a paper that would examine the historical evidence of the Christian faith in order to disprove it. However, he shares he was converted to Christianity after he found the evidence for and not against it. He's written, "When it comes to my salvation, all I need is Jesus. After my salvation, everything is Jesus plus the church. When people preach that all you need is Jesus, they cut you and I off from one of the greatest sources of healing, which is the body of Christ. Don't go it alone. You won't make it." Brothers and sisters, we need each other. And it's by God's design we need each other. You miss being here. I miss you being here. But God has designed for us to want to be with one another. I know some of you have met Don Byerly, the one who wrote the book Surprised by Faith. And as he grew up in the Lutheran church, the way I kind of would picture it, he treated God with a social distancing. He had been a professor of biology, he, as I mentioned, raised in the Lutheran church, but he kept God at arm's length. It was kind of just a comfortable place, just on the edge. And he didn't realize until he really began to struggle and question that he had been really an agnostic. And he pressed into observing and researching, was the Bible true? Was it factual? And if so, is the history of Jesus' death and life a reality? Well, Don came to realize it was all true. It is all true. And he came into a personal relationship with Christ, no longer practicing the arm's length Christianity. Well, the facts of the resurrection are crucial, but we don't want to miss the impact of the resurrection on our lives. John shared at the end of this chapter, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." And following Thomas's proclamation, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus asks, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It really doesn't have to be that difficult. I get a kick out of this account. There's a group of wise men that were part of a group called Mensa, in which their IQ was way up there. I'd have to get a ladder to get up to them. But they were at a convention in San Francisco, and while they were having lunch in a local cafe, they discovered that the salt shaker contained pepper, and the pepper shaker was full of salt. They got into a debate how they could exchange the contents of each shaker without spilling and using only the implements they had in front of them. Well, they had a lively problem-solving conversation. They were discerning all the facts, and the group landed on what they believed was a brilliant solution that would utilize the saucer and a napkin and a straw. And so they called the waitress over to impress her with their solution to this mind-bending problem. "Ma'am," they said, "we couldn't help but notice that the pepper shaker contained salt and the salt shaker pepper." And the waitress interrupted, "Oh, sorry about that." She proceeded to unscrew the caps of both bottles and switch the caps. The resurrection is not complex. It is a simple, straightforward truth. It's not complicated. Jesus died, then he rose from the dead. And remember the Lord's words to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus is speaking to you. He's speaking about you. He is speaking about me. For we have not seen him with our own eyes as Thomas, and yet we're able to believe. Although I'm hearing reports over in the Muslim countries that Jesus is actually appearing to the Muslims and they are being converted. They're coming to know Him personally. This morning, His arms are wide open. Do you hear His voice? Let Jesus speak to your heart, just as He spoke to Thomas. Allow Jesus to take your doubts away. Let Jesus change you. Let Him transform you. Then may you proclaim as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." And to this, amen and amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning, we gather with a celebration of the resurrection from death to life. Our Jesus defeated death, defeated sin, defeated Satan, and by faith, believing in Him, we can have that assurance. May we have burning in our hearts a compassion, a passion for You, that even as we are not able to gather together, You have brought us together. We are united as one. Fill us with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.